I thought we would finish this up, the 10th chapter this today. Going over my notes this morning, I wasn't sure we would get through today. But we'll leave that in the hands of the Lord, and if we get through, all well and fine. If we don't, we'll continue next week. But just to recap, Jesus here in this 10th chapter has called his 12 disciples to him. And sends them forth. He calls them apostles. The 12 apostles. Names them by name, who they are. But in sending them forth, he lets them know that they're to go to their specific task. And first task is to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And to enter into all their cities and into their houses. He lets them know that there will be some that will receive them. And seeing as they had not prepared for the journey, seeing as they had not taken food and extra clothing, those who received them would tend to their physical needs. And they would preach the gospel of the kingdom to them. But he also let them know that there would be some that would reject them. And would not hear them. And he said, whatsoever house that happens, whatsoever city that happens, to brush the dust off your feet. Shake the dust off your feet. And he goes on to let them know that they're going to be delivered up by those who reject them. They'll be delivered up to the courts, to prison, and that even some of their own family would seek to put them to death. He said, basically, all men shall hate you. And so, this week, we get into verse 24 and down through the end of the chapter, but talks more about the conflict. That's our first point this morning. We want to think about the conflict. And in this passage, we see more than the fact that they're going to be persecuted, and more than the fact of the hardships that befall them, he's given them encouragements. Encouragement to the persecuted. Encouragements for those who suffer and are persecuted, like as the Lord. Basically, in verse 24, we read, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. In this, we see that he's pointing them to look to Jesus. Look to your Lord and Savior. Look to your master. Look to your instructor. Look to your teacher. He was, in essence, he was telling them that he had already faced rejection and suffering. And he would face even greater suffering and rejection heretofore. in His divine power and majesty, in His supreme holiness, in His perfect love. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3 tells us that He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. This was the Holy Son of God, God manifest in the flesh. This is the one who was perfect and power and in majesty and supreme holiness. And He tells them, you are not greater. To each one of us this morning, He says, you're not greater than your Master. You're not greater than your Lord. He told the 12 that the disciple is not over his instructor. The word master there means instructor, teacher. And the servant is not over his own with supreme authority. The word Lord is what the Lord means. The one with supreme authority. The one that had the authority over them. The servant's not over his Lord. And later, on the night before that he was betrayed and to be crucified, he reminds them again, as he did throughout his ministry, reminded them. But on that eve before he was crucified, he reminds them in the book of John in chapter 13 and verse 16. Verily, verily, I say unto you, truly, truly, surely, surely, firm, this is firm, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Don't look to be praised of men. Our Lord and Savior was reviled. He suffered and he died. 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us that he was our example. It tells us that he was reviled and reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. That is, we that have put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we've been baptized, given a likeness of being dead to sins, but alive unto God. And he's letting them know that they can expect to be falsely represented. Verse 25, he said, it is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his own house? If they've called him king of dung, prince of Satan, what do you expect they should do to you? misrepresentations. It's enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. Are we his disciples? Are we his Lord? Then it's enough that we be as him. It's only right and it's only fitting that they're going to treat us as they did our master, our Lord. Next, we want to consider a duty to holiness. Reading verses 26 through 28, he said, "Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." So we find here a duty to holy boldness. We're to be bold. Don't fear them. Do not be put to flight. Earlier he told them in last week in the close, he said when severe persecution comes upon you in this house or this city, then flee to the next. In other words, don't stop preaching, but stop in that city. Shake the dust off your shoes and go to the next city. Don't be put to flight by these terrifying men. Don't get so afraid and so terrified that you stop. I sent you. That's your commission to go. Those that reject the teaching and preaching of the gospel of the kingdom and therefore bring all these things upon you, don't be afraid of them. Don't be terrified so that you quit being sent. No, I've sent you. Continue on. And so we find these very apostles in the book of Acts. In chapter 4, when persecution came upon them, and it came upon them because they did the works of Jesus and they preached in His name the gospel of the kingdom. And after that, they had imprisoned them and then let them go and then beat them with many stripes and admonished them not to speak anymore in this man's name. In verse 29 of that fourth chapter, we find them praying to the Lord, and they said, "Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." In other words, give us boldness, Lord, that we might continue to speak your word. For that's what we must do. That's our mission. That's what you've sent us to do. So fear not their misrepresentations. Do not be afraid and flee because of their false accusations. They falsely accused our Lord, our Master. Don't fear their misrepresentations. Don't fear their reproaches. And don't fear when they vilify you. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms in chapter 74. Psalms 74. And read here in verse 10, Oh God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Oh Lord God, how long shall these trials persist upon me? How long shall the adversary reproach? How long shall I have to endure this trial, this tribulation, Lord? How long shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? Shall this persist forever, Lord? Turn with me to what the psalmist says in chapter 57 then. Chapter 57. This is basically an answer to what he asked there in the 74th Psalm. Chapter 57 and verse 3. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. Think on that. Let's pause there for a moment. He's going to send from heaven and swallow up them that reproach me. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. Praise God. You see? Just be patient. Don't fear. Don't fret when they bring those trials and those tribulations that come upon you. And yes, they do come. And yes, we at times want to throw up our hands and quit. But no. The phrase, keep on. Keeping on. Amen. Keep on. Keeping on. Fear not them which can only kill the body. See what he said there in the verses that we read. Fear not them which can only kill the body. That's all they can do. You're like, well, that's bad enough, isn't it? Well, could it get any worse? Well, yeah, it could be worse. Do not fear those that are not content to revile and to scourge you and to imprison you, but instead they seek to put you to death. And he said, some of them might be from your own family. Some from your own family. Look at how he put it in Luke chapter 12 and verse 4. He said, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. They've killed you. They've killed you. They've put you to death. And they think, oh, I won the victory. But he says there's nothing more they can do to you. Do you realize your soul is in his hands? Amen. In the hands of God, in the hands of the Lord. And even your body is. We're going to find that out. Even your body is under his control. After they've killed the body, after they've put you to death, they have no more that they can do to you. But that's not the end. That's not the end. Contrary to what some would have you to believe today, well, that's the end. No, that's not the end. You and I know that's not the end. We're saved. We're saved. We have everlasting life with Jesus. Our soul, they've killed the body, but our soul goes to be with the Lord. Is that bad? Is that bad? That's not bad. That's a good thing, is it not? Look at the last part of verse 26 and verse 27. It said, and there's, let's read the whole verse 26. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. In other words, what's he saying here? He's saying, don't cease to preach the gospel. Don't cease to preach Jesus Christ, the gospel of the kingdom, because of those men who falsely accuse and even seek to put you to death, to destroy your physical life. You see, in time it's all going to be revealed. Even the secret things. And the intents of their heart, it's going to be and it's going to be revealed in the time to come, whose they are, that they're not of Him. But you're of Him, so continue to preach the word. What I tell you to preach, preach. He said, continue on. Next. In the last half of verse 28 and down through verse 31, we see a duty to trustfulness. We have a duty to trust Him. It said in the last half of verse 28, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able, fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Look at this. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Fear ye not, therefore, them. Why? You're more value than many sparrows. Boy, just think about those thoughts. He immediately, in that last half of verse 28, sets their eyes upon the Lord. Look to the Lord. He's the one that is able to kill both soul and body. You see, all they've done is kill your body. All they can do is kill your body. They can't kill your soul. But He, the Lord, is the master of soul and body. This is a description of God and a description of His power, His ability. It's also in the other verses, it is a description of His mercy over all of His works. Even something as little and insignificant as a sparrow. Even something as little and insignificant as one piece of hair. His providence is over all His creation. Even what we might consider the most insignificant. Oh, God, got hairs that fall out of our head all the time. You put little screens in the drain to catch women's hair, especially because it's long and it can clog up the drains easily. And constantly pulling the hair out of that net, throwing it away. Did you know every one of those hairs have a number?
Yes. Amen.
God's numbered every one of them.
Amen.
Numbered every one. Consider the thought, not one sparrow. But our verse says, two are sold for a farthing. That is, a farthing was the smallest bit of coin that they had in that day. So two sparrows are sold for a little bit of nothing, and not one of them shall be taken in. Not one of them shall be taken in a trap or shot, but by the will of God. Something as little and insignificant as sparrows. I mean, sparrows are out here are dime a dozen, we would say. In fact, farmers consider them a pest. How much more the lives and death of His people? How much more the lives and death of His people? He said, you are of more value than many sparrows. He was talking about two sparrows being sold for a little bit of nothing, and not one of those... just a fraction, just a part of that little bit of nothing falls to the ground without the Lord knowing it, without His will, without His purpose. Not one of your hairs. The very hairs of our head are counted and cataloged, and not one of them falls to the ground without the knowledge and will of Almighty God. Look at what he says in the book of Luke in chapter 21. Luke chapter 21 and verse 17. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Verse 18. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In other words, you're going to be hated of all men, and not a hair of your head is going to be destroyed without His will. What's he saying there? They can't even kill you unless it be His will. They can't put you to death unless it be His will. There's no suffering that can come upon you unless it be His will. We are more valuable than many sparrows. So what's that say about His great care and His great love for us? We're of more value than many sparrows. How many sparrows? Many, many sparrows. You see. Yea, even the very hairs of our head are numbered. That's what He thinks of us. That's what He thinks of you, and that's what He thinks of me. He knows every hair. We would say, He knows every hair by name. Or, according to our text, He knows every hair by number. He knows whether He's going to allow number one to fall out today or number 10 to fall out today. Or maybe none fall out today. All our lives, all of our lives are under His arrangement. It's under the arrangement of Almighty God. Think about that. Think of how valuable you are to Him. How much He cares for you. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 125. Psalms 125. We'll read verses 1 and 2. They that trust in the Lord. You see who this addresses to? This addresses to those that trust in the Lord. Are you trusting in the Lord? Are you? We learned a little bit about that in Sunday school this morning. Trust and obey the Lord. You know what we learned in Sunday school this morning? Trust and obey the Lord, and He shall fight all your battles. He shall fight all your battles. Just ask Israel. I mean, He gave Israel a battle plan for Jericho that we would have laughed at as, well, our soldiers today would have laughed at. I want you men of war to go and follow the Ark of the Covenant, the priest bearing that, and the seven priests who are carrying the ram's horns and blowing upon them. I want you to follow them around the city once each day. And then on the seventh day, you do that for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, I want you to march around it 7 times, and when the horn blows long, then you give forth a shout. That's all you have to do. Are you going to trust the Lord in that? I don't need my sword. I don't need my gun. Lord, you mean I don't need the artillery to bust down those walls? Nope. Just trust me and obey, and I'll give you the victory. They trusted Him, they obeyed, and He gave them the victory. The walls came tumbling down, and they marched right in and destroyed the city, burned it with fire. Do we trust the Lord? Look at what He says here. Trust, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Here's how Mount Zion is. The city of Jerusalem. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is surrounded by mountains. Jerusalem is sitting on a hillside and is surrounded by mountains. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth, even forevermore. You that trust in the Lord, the moment you trusted in the Lord, you've received forgiveness of sins, salvation in the Lord, His arms around you, He's got you encompassed. That's how much He cares about me. That's how much He cares about you. And there's nothing. Is He all-powerful or not? Is He the Almighty or not? You see? Yes, He is. Amen. And there's nothing going to befall us Lest it be His will. And if it be His will, then we know it's for my good that I might come forth as gold. As gold that is purified in the fire. What does that mean? As gold purified in the fire. That means that I might come forth as something very valuable. That's what the Lord thinks of us. Anything that He allows for us is that because we're of great value to Him and He's just making us more valuable. He's getting rid of all the dross. He's getting rid of all the impurities upon us. Well, I didn't think I'd get through it today. So,